Welcome to a Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And tonight, I'm going to talk about everyone going a little mental, a little bit mental. And talking about mental health issues, this seems to always happen after mass shootings in America. We have this tug of war discussion about mental health. So tonight I'm titling my show, That's Mental. We'll be covering a lot of areas that are kind of making us a little mental, like Jeff Epstein's death, which is very, very strange.
Yes, yes.
And what you think about it, as well as the FBI raiding his personal island. We're going to also talk about, we're going to get into a discussion about, you know, what laws we already have in place to deal with dangerous people, people that are a danger to themselves and others, people that you would normally commit to a mental institution or that you would like to be able to commit to a mental institution. And then we're going to talk about how much people actually know about all these things. You know, what does it take to commit a person into an institution? Do you know, Duke?
Not really.
See, and I bet you a lot of people out there are just like you and me. Well, actually, I do. I know what it takes. But I used to do casework for Department of Human Services back when I was living in Iowa. And I had to do that to people. I actually put people in institutions than when they were a danger. But there's a process. There's a process you have to go through. And it's something that you don't come to easily. Okay. You don't just go, hey, I'm going to put somebody in the loony bin and arrive at that decision easily. So we're going to talk about all of that. Plus, we're going to talk about access to healthcare in America, especially to mental healthcare, the different kinds of, you know, stigmas that go along with people getting mental health care, even in America. And also, we will talk about the med situation. Because in my experiences in the past, working as a paralegal in Social Security disability, where, you know, you had a pretty high threshold to be able to prove somebody had mental health disability based either solely or even in part on a disability created because of mental health issues. And a lot of it had to do with medications, access to taking of versus not being able to take the right medicines or taking too many medicines. All of that will be covered on today's show. And then I really want to analyze who in the Border Support Network is messaging propaganda to you about how you should feel. And damn it, feel this way right now. Come on. Snap to it. Because there's been a mass shooting. And either you have a heart or you don't. And if you do, this is what you got to use it for. And this is how you have to use it. And I don't know if folks recall this, but there was a lot of speculation, and we're not going to get into all of the speculation on tonight's show. But there was a lot of speculation about what this Jeffrey Epstein knew about important and powerful people, including President Clinton, President Obama, President Trump, right? And many other people, presumably. So we'll get into some of what that might mean in terms of what we're being told, but also I want to thank folks that have been supporting our work, that have been donating to our travel fund. We are still making plans to go to Tijuana and work alongside Oscar El Blue Ramirez, bringing you up to the minute information about what's happening with the border crisis, especially in Tijuana, where it was most acute, because many of these pseudo activists in the Border Support Network were driving thousands and thousands of people to Tijuana specifically. So if you can give a donation, we are making plans to go soon, and we want to be able to stay a maximum amount of days so that we can bring you a lot more information. If we brought what we did the last time in 1.5 days, can you imagine what we could do with 3 or 4?
Exactly.
That would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So please support our work. Thank you to all of you who share our shows, who spread the message of the Mexican Crossing Line shows, whether you're doing it on social media or otherwise, and all of you who send me information, messages, emails, phone calls, even postcards. Thank you for the love. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the support. Duke, how can folks get a hold of us?
Well, there's many ways, and I'd like to thank people, too, that have been supporting us, who've been watching our shows, who's been spreading our shows, sharing our shows. We're developing a YouTube audience now, too, that some of you are watching on Facebook, or you go straight to YouTube. Very much appreciated. And also, we're airing these shows on a local radio. We're 88.1 on the dial here in Fargo-Moorhead, and we take most of these shows, and we have to edit them because sometimes there's swear words and other material that doesn't play very well on audio. So we change the shows a little bit, but it's the same content, and we play them on the air locally. So as people out there driving around their cars or listening to their radios in their house, if some people still do that, and you're listening to 88.1 of the Mexican Crossing Lines, and you want to give us a call, and anyone that's doing Facebook Live or YouTube can do this too, we have a message line where you can call 701-566-0917. Again, that is 701-566-0917. You can leave a message up to 3 minutes, and sometimes we'll put them on the air. Sometimes you just want to hear your sweet voice, and sometimes you don't feel like typing everything out. You can do a 3-minute message to us. If you're more into doing email, you can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke at kpppfm.com. Also, you can tweet us at media_PPP and go to Facebook and go to 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead. You can message us there. Also, the People's Press Project and Mexi-Can. Now, when you're on kpppfm.com, you can go to the shows and go to a Mexican Crossing Lines, and you'll see the audio format we put on there and the YouTube video we put on there. And many times we put the links to the show in there, too, so you can do further research and check our receipts. Also, when you're there, you can go to kpppfm.com/donate, and that's where you can make a donation. It's tax-deductible. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we are a non-commercial radio station here in Fargo-Moorhead. Your donations are tax-deductible, and we really, really appreciate the support.
One of the things that I learned from Professor Guadalupe Correa Cabrera, the professor from George Mason University, whom I have been collaborating with in uncovering this vast network of people and organizations and NGOs involved in the Border Support Network, as you will recall, it was formerly Occupy Inauguration, Occupy ICE, started by Antifa leader Evan K. Duke, who was joined in the administration of the Facebook group and page by the husband of Deborah Parker, the Democratic Platform leader, indigenous woman, married to Myron Dewey of Digital Smoke Signals of Standing Rock fame. These are the people that are now heavily involved in the leadership and in the propaganda behind this border crisis and the asylum-seeking phenomenon. And what she taught me was about mercenary activists. Mercenary activists is just what it sounds like. And this Antifa leader, Evan K. Duke, all the way back when he was here at Standing Rock, I showed you a video of him talking about this, gave us the recipe that they use. And the first step is spectacle, okay? Because it's a performance, because it's theater, because many times they are putting it on and it is a lie made out of whole cloth, right? But most of the time, what it's for is to create some kind of media, frenzy, because you have to do some, you have to have some shocking piece of information, something shocking that really shocks the senses of people and pushes their buttons and makes them really react, really get triggered, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is to make that viral. To use all of your platforms and social media and access to people and influencers to make this viral, to make the messaging behind it viral, whether that be abolish ICE or saying that Trump is a Nazi or whatever. And then you fundraise off of it. But those are the three steps, right? The spectacle, making the spectacle viral and the message behind it, and finally fundraising. They all go hand in hand. And I told you that was already happening behind these mass shootings. And any of those who are making money off of those deaths, or at least are cashing in on them, are politicians. And it was also very interesting to watch how the death, we want to call it a death of Jeffrey Epstein. That's how it's being reported, as a death. I don't know if he really died.
Yeah.
I believe that the speculation about whether or not he's really dead, will rage on. All I said when he died was, I want to see the body. Like, I want to see the body. Unless I see a body, I don't know that I can believe that there's proof of death. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm skeptical is because in Mexico, many criminals in the past and in the present have escaped the jails repeatedly. And with the help of people on the inside, you know, mm-hmm. with the help of government officials, politicians, with the blessing in many cases of those folks, because of the power and the money of the person, like Chapo Guzman, mm-hmm. right? So that's why I'm a skeptical. I'm a Mexican crossing lines. I've seen this done before. What do you think, Duke? Do you think this guy is dead?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like, mysteriously, the cameras quit working. It was on 24-hour surveillance. Cameras quit working. He wasn't on suicide watch, even though they had him on suicide watch for like 24 hours. And then he's all of a sudden deceased. And they say it was apparent suicide. He hung himself. And it's like, you know, it's not that you want to be all gruesome and see all that sort of stuff, but it seems really fishy to me. And this man was very rich. And this man had a lot of dirt on a lot of people. It would not surprise me with the sort of corruption that there can be with that sort of amount of funds and the people he's been involved with and the activities that have been reported on. And there's evidence of. So yeah, I'm not convinced that I'm more like, you know, when's the story going to come out that someone talks that they're part of this big escape, you know? So, but we don't know any of that. It's not being reported that way, but there is more and more information coming in every day.
And if we're not supposed to know whether or not Jeff really died or didn't, then this is going to be one of those things where anytime anyone says that they believe Jeff Epstein is alive, they're going to maybe be called a conspiracy theorist because of it.
Yep.
And
him and Elvis are palling around.
I don't know. I think, you know, I think Elvis would steer clear of Epstein in this life or any other. But, you know, he was known for international trafficking of young women, of young ladies, of children.
Yeah.
Of children. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He was a trafficker of children and he was a pedo. He's a pedo that liked sleeping with children.
Mm-hmm.
And since we can't know and we don't know, I will say that the FBI raiding of his island so soon after his death, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but it seems pretty interesting. Wouldn't you say, Duke?
Yeah, especially since they got a large carpet shredder, an industrial strength carpet shredder, and a shredder for paper delivered to the island. You might have been anticipating something and time to get rid of some stuff. But that just came up like, you know, yesterday. And so it's like there's this ongoing investigation. Remember, this guy had not been to court yet. He hadn't been questioned. He hadn't been in court. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, like, are we never going to know any of this stuff? Because now he's deceased. They're not going to try a person who's deceased on these crimes. I don't know what they're going to do with it, with a deceased person. I don't know how the court will handle that, how the FBI will handle that, and what will be done about what he was accused of if he's truly dead.
And possibly they could go after the accomplices that helped him traffic people,
maybe
children, you know, including children. there's a lot of speculation, but you know what really surprised me? That somebody crawled out of their hole to chime in, and that someone was Wes Clark Jr. Wes Clark Jr. being the son of General Wesley Clark, former head of NATO. Wesley Clark Jr., the guy that was working at the Young Turks, Wesley Clark Jr. partnered up with former Baltimore cop Michael Awood Jr. to defraud a bunch of people out of millions of dollars by telling them that he was going to bring a bunch of veterans to Standing Rock and do stuff for veterans, for them to protect the sacred and work with the Indians. And instead, he got involved in helping a bunch of people working for his organization, including Bill Running Fisher and Melanie Stoneman, in falsely accusing an innocent woman, an innocent Native woman, Oglala Lakota, from that area, and putting her mother in an early grave, taking her elderly mother with dementia from her under false pretenses while they falsely accused her of hurting her mom, and they put her in a jail for 6 months. That's what these folks actually did in Standing Rock, among other horrible things. And he crawled out of his hidey hole after so much time to say this. Would you read that, Duke?
Wesley Clark Jr., August 10th. I'm sure the guy whose dad wrote a sex slavery novel and hired Epstein, a college dropout, to teach teenage girls will get to the bottom of what really happened to the man who introduced the president to his wife. Did I mention he also runs the federal prison system?
Okay, and then the next one?
And he says, I wonder how long until Ghislaine Maxwell gets suicide.
Gets suicided.
Suicided.
Like, you know, he's implying that Epstein was suicided, as in murdered, not really committed suicide on his own. And then another tweet.
He says, the attorney general doesn't know the difference between justice and revenge. AG claims revenge is justice. BC audience.
Because
audience cheers in revenge movies. Audience also used to cheer at lynchings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So these are just some of his tweets, but the recent ones he made about Epstein were shocking. I was like, oh my God. Finally, something or someone you feel above Jeff Epstein.
Yeah.
So because, you know, I wouldn't be very proud of myself if I had been involved with an organization that did what Wes Clark Jr.'s organization did. And yeah, he may have been willing to talk about it and also supposedly denouncing many of the people that were involved and their involvement after the fact. He was doing a lot of, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, but I think that had to do with the fact that he didn't have another option because he was caught in a pickle, red-handed. And so there is another influence here that I wanted to talk to you about that is very much related to Standing Rock. For those of you who are tired of me talking about this stuff, it's where I learned all of this information in the first place. And it is that group that I told you about called Refuse fascism, because in the wake of these mass shootings, especially the one in El Paso, where many Mexicans were killed, including people from Mexico, which is why the Mexican government has weighed in to say that they're going to sue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that group that I told you about, which incidentally was started by Standing Rock Indian leader Chase Iron Eyes, who's one of the initial signatories, as well as that other partner of Wes Clark Jr., Michael A. Wood Jr., the former Baltimore cop. He signed on as one of the people that initiated this Refuse Fascism group, along with a well-known domestic terrorist, Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground, among others. I'm just mentioning two important things. One is that two of those people are also connected to Wesley Clark Jr. and this group, Refuse Fascism. And that is these other two Standing Rock figures, Chase Iron Eyes of the Lakota Law Project, as well as Michael A. Wood Jr., a veteran stand for Standing Rock. Also very close to the Young Turks as well. Also very close to the Young Turks. And what is the message that we hear from this group, specifically from the Chicago sector of this Refuse Fascism group in the wake of these horrible mass shootings? Take a listen. It's important that you notice the messaging. Here it is, that clip from Refuse Fascism. August 7th, 2019, Idalia from Chicago Chapter of Refuse Fascism gave this speech at a vigil for the people murdered in El Paso.
No, it's not.
If it were, then Trump and his entire fascist regime must be institutionalized immediately.
Yes. Yes.
The Trump Pence regime is indeed white supremacist fascist.
Yes.
And has been spreading hate from the beginning of their campaign when they demonized Mexicans.
Yes.
The Trump-Pence regime is to blame for the growing racist hate and death. They are the reason why the people in El Paso were shot, as well as many others throughout this country. And they're doing it in the name of Make America White Again.
Yes. Yes.
How many more jolts of horror will we allow? Thousands of immigrant and refugee children from across the U.S. created border have been separated from their parents and lost. How many more immigrant and refugee children have to die in the concentration camps? Why do we have concentration camps?
Yes. Right. Yes.
And even a new Gestapo called ICE.
That's right.
With the leading fascist Trump announcing that undocumented immigrant homes will be raided by ICE at dawn. Why? Because they are white supremacists, fascists. With the leading fascist Trump announcing that undocumented immigrant homes will be raided by ICE at dawn. Why? Because they are white supremacists, fascists, and they must go. The Trump-Pence regime
must go.
The thing is, the truth is, you cannot vote out fascists. If you look into it, you cannot vote out fascists, sadly. They do not follow laws, as we have witnessed. And Trump has a chance at winning in 2020. Even through cheating, as he did the first time.
Yes.
It was collusion,
yes,
that nothing happened after, no consequences. The only way to put a stop to this is by doing what the people in Puerto Rico just did to oust their government.
Yeah.
woman there said in Puerto Rico, we are now the ones who are going to decide which way things will go. We the people.
That's right.
The time is now to stop the Trumpist regime. In the name of humanity. We are speaking for humanity. This has been going on for over 2 years now. We have been watching this nightmare. I am here to ask you to commit to preparing a nonviolent movement to stay in the streets until we have tremendous crowds demanding for the Trumpist regime to resign.
Yeah!
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 We need to prepare for a political change. And I am asking you to help make this happen. Imagine the Trumpist regime ousted.
Yes!
Yeah!
We would celebrate like they did in Puerto Rico. They celebrated for days when they were able to get out their governor.
Unity.
Exactly. And that's what I'm asking. I think it's time. We can't afford to wait. How many more people are we going to allow to die? How many more shootings?
That's right.
How long has this been going?
That's right.
What happened to the Mueller report? What happened to impeachment? How long do we wait?
That's right.
No more. This, we have to get out there and say, like they did in Puerto Rico, like they did in South Korea, like they did in Algeria, like they've been doing in Sudan and Hong Kong. How many places have been getting out there? We have that. We can do it. We only live once. And this is urgent.
Yes.
Raise your hand if you really, really, because a lot of us make sad faces on Facebook and we comment, and sometimes we don't know what to do. But they did it in Puerto Rico, and they did it in all the places I mentioned. We have the worst in the White House, so we can do it. I'm happy to hear that people came from El Paso to get a movement going. We need to keep this going. Please see me, raise your hand, Tina. Anyone who's interested in preparing a movement, we must see this end. The nightmare must end. In the name of our planet, in humanity, because they are not going to stop. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, let's talk about this for a minute. Because this is an important thing to dissect, okay? And I wanted you to listen for what the, this person in the group that was started by these very influential people, and what they're asking folks to do. I tell you this because I experienced the over year-long protest that happened here in our state in North Dakota that resulted in over $30 million worth of damages and losses for the state and resulted in an innocent woman being framed by a lot of these reckless mercenary activists. And they were also for hire. You know, we learned that they were making, and they still continue to make money, defrauding people, telling them that they're working on this humanitarian aid thing, when they're not at all, when they're many times defrauding people and hurting people and doing quite the opposite. And those folks, some of them have to do with the formation of this group and its message to the world and its message to the country. And it's reflected in what they're doing, because this woman was saying, we should be doing what they're doing in Hong Kong, what they did in Sudan, what they did in all these other countries, what they did in Puerto Rico, which is what? What did they do? Riot. Mm-hmm. They rioted and they faced off against the government. And they threw out the, or they're attempting to throw out the government, upend the government in some way, or upend parts of its institutions, such as some of the folks in these groups are doing with regard to the detention facilities by wanting to shut down the camps, as they call their campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's bringing up impeachment. She keeps calling the administration of this president the Trump-Pence regime.
Yep.
Very reminiscent of the Third Reich regime. You know, like...
Exactly.
It's supposed to bring that into your mind. And they talk about the Mueller report. And I'm like, okay, well, that part, that's in history now. That's in the past, right? And at some point she says, you know, we can do it. We have the worst in the White House. What she means is we have the worst leader of all of these countries that I told you that rose up, places like Puerto Rico that rose up and basically overthrew the existing, or got the existing government to leave, or are trying to do that. Those places don't have as bad of a situation, as bad of a regime in office as we do here in the United States. We are the ones with the worst one. That's what she was saying.
Yeah.
Did you understand it that way? I just want to be clear about what she said, because I think it's important that you notice, because she was like all over the place and almost like talking in code. We can do it. And she doesn't say what. She said, we can overthrow the government.
Just show up on the streets.
That's what she meant to say. But see, that's like on the edge of treason, trying to call for an overthrow of your own government. It's like she's like skating on the thin ice of treason as she talks about this, because she also calls for action. Notice she's not just telling you. I was checking out some of the comments on today's show while that was playing, and somebody said she is spreading hatred. Oh, no, you're wrong. She's doing much more than, quote-unquote, spreading hatred, because the propaganda behind groups like the one she is in, Refuse Fascism, is spreading propaganda that they want people to be triggered by and to take a hold of in that moment of confusion and anger. Do you know what the most important tools in marketing and in propaganda are? They are anger and fear. Because those are the things that trigger the chemicals to go into your bloodstream that make you either fight or flight. Anger or fear. Some physical chemical thing actually happens to your body. You remember learning about this in school?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what these very intelligent marketers, propagandaists, talk to people that are doing campaigns for marketing and advertising. I learned about it when I was working for that company doing translations for websites, Westlaw. And they literally had a package in a presentation they showed us that said, you have to make people afraid or angry. You have to. That's how you sell things. And it's also how you sell ideas. And this is a person selling you ideas, but they're not just doing that. The messaging behind the people that this woman is speaking on behalf of, that she's speaking for, because she's one of many voices doing the speaking on behalf of Refuse Fascism. Those are the people coming up with the idea to sell. She's not just spreading it. She is spreading it with the knowledge that it will create fear or anger, and then telling you what to do in the moment that she is triggering you to feel those things. You have to do something, because I see many of you commenting, sad faces on Facebook. But what are you doing? People need to know what to do, she said. Some of them don't know what to do. Here's what you do. You do what those other countries I just talked about did. Mm-hmm. And what was that she was referring to? Overthrowing?
Yeah, violence.
Violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't come out and say it because she realizes, like many of these people do, that they are skating around calling violence, which is not protected speech, calling for people to go and put their body in harm's way, which is also not protected speech. And I think, I don't mean to be defending Donald Trump because I don't like him. And I'm sorry if that makes people angry. I hope that you're not so into your party and politics and the people that you... I respect the fact that he's the president. I understand that that there on both sides, there is either like a cult of, you know, some cultist religion supporting kind of, you know, love for Trump, like he's some kind of deity. And then on the other side, there's some people that are just, you know, you've heard people call it the Trump derangement syndrome. I thought it was an insulting way of calling people that didn't like Trump or didn't vote for him. But I've actually seen people that literally kind of go into a conniption fit if you mention even the name of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that isn't because all these people are just nut jobs. I really think it has to do with how you are conditioned and how we have been mm-hmm. conditioned to think of and talk about this president ever since he got elected. And to be honest, it's not hard because he's so inarticulate.
Yeah.
He doesn't explain himself. He's always saying after the fact, which makes him look like a big fat liar. One of the things that he does do a lot of lie is that he has somebody explain, oh, that horrible sounding thing he said. No, that's not what he meant. He actually meant this other thing, but nobody can really prove that because that's not what he said. What he said was this. But I have to say, there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of things out there that are made up about Trump, too, that are just fabricated or they're, you know, embellished, shall we say. Embellished greatly, exaggerated, shall I say, to the degree that is meant to hit that fight or flight button in people that are steadily fed a diet of kids and cages and crying and family separations and babies being hurt. And it's enough to make you go mad. It's really enough to make you, I mean, it's mental, right?
Yep.
It'll make you mental. It'll make you mental. And it's meant to make you mental. And I've actually talked to some of my friends that are progressive, and they were so conditioned to get upset if it, you know, because part of what this message is that if you don't go and go to the riot, if you don't go punch a Nazi, if you don't start calling Trump a Nazi or a white supremacist, you don't have a heart. Maybe you are a Nazi yourself. I mean, it is this really way overboard way of thinking, this so black and white way of thinking, this obtuse mentality that leaves no room for a discussion about what's really annoying about the president. Because a lot of the things I said about him are true, whether or not you want to sugarcoat them behind what he really meant to say and how good he has been for the economy or any other you know, justifications for his negative aspects that he has that you want to make. The truth is He isn't very good at explaining himself. His voice can be so annoying. I hate the fact that he does all these chopper talks, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be here all night just telling you all the things that I dislike, that I wish one of his advisors, I wish he could keep an advisor long enough.
Yeah.
I wish he could keep a person working for him in any position long enough that they might have a real impact on his life in some meaningful way. And, you know, I wish the best for this administration, just like I wish the best for this country, because if it fails, we fail.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't do the right thing for the people that live in it, we're all screwed because we're all on the America boat. Right? So to that end, I would think people would want to actually examine shortcomings that are real without making things up. You certainly don't need to exaggerate or make things up, because you are doing real mental damage. You really are causing even short-term PTSD, triggering people, many of whom have real issues with living in dangerous areas where they're going to get shot, where they're going to get killed. A lot of people in the media are talking about it, Duke. They're saying that, you know, Trump is, a horrible person. It doesn't want to help protect people of color, queer people, Jews, anybody that the, you know, white nationalists would want to kill, because he is a white nationalist. And the only way to prove that you're not one for Trump is for him to pass some form of gun control. So Trump started talking about doing some kind, passing something in gun control, and people were losing their mind. They went mental. Like, he can't do that. And, you know, I just want to remind people, I'm not going to go through everything I said in my last show about this, because I did talk about it at length. So if you want to hear my original thoughts, go to kpppfm.com and go check out my previous shows. Nemo can drop the last four or five of them in the comments of this program, so that if you want to go back and watch what I had to say about this, you can. But I'll remind you that we live in a country that has the most guns. It's the environment in which you are likely to have a lot of gun violence, because we have so many of the guns. We have all of the guns.
Mm-hmm.
We sell the guns. We make the guns. We encourage people to use the guns. They're readily available, easy to get. We don't really restrict gun use to an almost ridiculous degree. We don't have hardly any restrictions on gun use. But then again, I am not a gun owner. And also, as the hosts of the policy were discussing, it's another program here on 88.1 FM, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And both of those hosts are men of color. Raheem Williams and Jamal Omar were discussing gun control. And they made an interesting point. I recommend you go and watch the whole show for yourself. I disagree with some of the things they say. I agree with some of the things they say. I found this to be something that I hadn't thought about, which is a really interesting point. Just as I have been telling all of you folks, that the people in the Border Support Network, that these activists, the mercenary activists that are really a lot of paid actors, literally, you can find their IMDBs, and they have IMDBs, a lot of them. What they are doing is that they're triggering you. They know how to work you, just like con men do. Con men can get you to do things because they're confidence men. They gain your confidence. These people don't have to try to gain your confidence. They're using psychological warfare against you. And they know how to use it. And they've been trained in using it. And they've been doing it successfully for years now. If I can explain that to you about the folks involved at Standing Rock and at other pipeline protests, etc., can prey upon people in that way. He was making the argument, Raheem Williams was, of the policy, was making the argument that the same thing was being done in the wake of the shooting. so that they could force these different kinds of gun control, which would not stop these kinds of mass shootings from happening and would not really stop bad people that would use them in mass shootings from getting a hold of them. Which is like an interesting argument. I believe that it is possible that there could be people that are manipulating our thoughts about, through the media messaging and propaganda they use, about mass shootings and what they mean and how they want to trigger us into that fight or flight response where we want to do something. And we're like, damn it, how many more people die before we do something? Mm-hmm. And we're like, we need something to be done. But are we thinking clearly about what that is and who is leading the charge? I don't think so. I think that that was the thing that got me the most. Now, the other things that he said about whether or not having gun control would not stop, really not stop, the number of mass shootings or decrease them in any way that was significant, that would make it, you know, a valuable thing to try to do at least. That, I don't know about that part. But, you know, hey, go listen to his show and see what you think about it. That's a discussion for another day. I think that what's more important of a discussion is for us to really think about what kind of access people have in America to mental health care and the stigma that goes along with it. Because I know, as a Mexican crossing lines in Mexico, still to this day, and definitely while I was growing up, especially for men, for you to say you were seeing a psychologist was a big no-no. Is that like that for white folks growing up in America? Or, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the stigmas were for you guys growing up.
It seems to be a male thing. You know, I've seen plenty of that, you know. That sort of stigma, there's something wrong with you if you have to have any sort of mental health care. But there are a lot of programs, though, that have been developed for white people, you know, so there are a lot of white men who are actually taking services, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that because of the immense amount of access that people have to guns in this country, like I just said, there's going to be very little effect if they pass some gun law that restricts, for example, AK-47s. I'm just thinking, yeah. You know, making something up. But as I said before, I am not a gun owner. I don't know a lot about automatic guns, which is to say I know very, very freaking little. And that's something else that Raheem pointed out on the policy, which is that the knowledge about guns and automatic weapons and gun ownership is, I can say I was a gun owner when I was younger. I mean, I grew up in Iowa. We all had to take gun training lessons in junior high. Everybody did. Just like everybody had to learn how to swim in Iowa, because in Muscatine, Iowa, where I grew up, because we lived by the river. So all I can say is, yeah, I know about that, but I have not been a gun owner as an adult. So I can't really say with any certainty. I can't talk intelligently on the topic of gun control and whether or not it's fair or right or what kind of effects it would have. But what I can tell you about is the fact that when we get into these silly arguments about whether or not we should bring up mental health in the wake of gun violence, we absolutely can do both, people. This is not a tug of war we need to have. We can absolutely talk about gun violence and also at the same talk about access to healthcare, mental health care, and the stigma around it in America. It's totally okay to do both. It needs to happen. Both of those mm-hmm. things are very important topics we need to talk about anyhow. Might as well talk about them at the same time. And people get so mad about it. They're like, why are you bringing it up in the wake of what's happening? That is conflating. I can see why it sounds ableist and oh so wrong, especially to people that actually have mental health care issues. I can understand why that would trigger you and infuriate you and make you mad. because it sounds like what they're saying is minimizing the evil behind the act. So I get that. It makes you angry because not every single person that is diagnosed with a mental health issue is a mass shooter. So why in the hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get that part. But also, and this I know as a person that worked on Social Security disability cases for a lot of my career as a paralegal, which spanned almost 2 decades, is that access to mental health does matter in terms of outcomes that have anything to do with violence. You don't have to start at mass shooter. You can start at and look at the background of many of these mass shooters, and there were incidences of violence, many of them against women. You know, there was a lot of things in their background that, quote unquote, could have been signs that this person might go cuckoo and do some harm to others. And whether or not people had medical insurance played a big role in any kind of safety net, any kind of access to getting disability benefits such that they could get medical treatment, were factors definitely, for sure, 100% of the time in which people got violent, people went over the edge and tried to harm themselves or others. Absolutely did. Same as whether or not somebody was taking their medicines. And I can say that specifically for people that are bipolar or people that are prone to seizures or people that are depressed. In many cases, if you stop taking your meds because they make you feel weird or whatever the reason is, something bad's going to happen. You just don't know how bad it is. Many of the times, I know because I've worked with a lot of people that are bipolar and schizophrenic and all of the things I just mentioned. The folks themselves don't remember what they did. They were told about things that they did, or they remembered parts of the things that they did. And some of it put their lives and other people's lives at risk for sure. For damn sure. And hence the reason why I know how to have someone committed too. 'Cause I worked in several areas of social work and the law in which there is a need for doing that when someone is a danger to themselves or to others. That's what you do. You commit them. Do you know about the process of committing someone?
No.
You've ever
No.
seen anybody committed? Well, it takes two people that work in professions like social work or law enforcement or the medical field or the psychiatric mental field, right? To say this person is a danger to themselves or to other or any other mandatory reporter, like a teacher, right? If a teacher, because they're mandatory reporters, are told by a kid that a kid has a gun or a knife or that they want to hurt themselves or other people, that person is mandated by law to report it to the authorities. And two such people have to go bear witness in front of a judge. Not enough to have one. Not enough to have one in most states that I know of. Has to be ordered by a judge. Judge has to say, yes, this person should be in a nut house. And then they'll say, see, I shouldn't call it that. That's wrong, right? A mental institution or psychiatric hold. But they have to decide. This person needs to go into a hold for 72 hours or whatever. Most committals, unless there is a very real reason why you're going to be an imminent threat to yourself for days or weeks at a time, such as, you know, being hooked on drugs, for example, because people, you know, have an addiction and they will try to go use if you let them. So they will not keep you for very long. They will not keep you institutionalized for very long because that has deep implications for people's housing, for people's jobs, for people's families, for lots and lots of reasons. So when somebody decides to take away your liberty, whether it's to put you in an institution, a jail or a hospital or what is whatever it is, they have to, a judge has to have a very good reason to do it. So folks, even though there are currently rules that would still allow, even if you don't pass legislation, because, you know, as I said, Rahim made a pretty, important, interesting argument about what legislating something about gun control right now would not do. He argued it wouldn't really do the things that people wanted. It would just be a panacea to help us all feel like, oh, we did something about this thing, right? Which didn't really help. But the reality is that we really don't know, I don't think, because we haven't tried to pass this. We haven't tried to pass any kind of gun control law. But I think it's just as likely, that the access to guns is so big that most people will still, you know, will still be experiencing mass shootings. We would have to have a really big ratcheted back thing where a lot of guns were removed from the United States. And I really don't see that happening.
No.
Do you think
that? No, I don't even see how they could do that. You know, it's just like, you know. Also, you have to go back to the roots of the Constitution and what, you know, when it was written for what. And it's like all these rules and different things for, you know, I read this story not too long ago. This guy who was blind got a gun, you know.
Yeah.
He can't even see, you know.
Yep.
But he practiced and everything. He's like, you know, hearing and stuff like that. But it's like, how do you decide what people's physical abilities would determine whether they can have a firearm? You know, so it's like,
well, it's not just a firearm. It's a slippery slope, Juke, yeah. Because if you don't have mental capacity to have a weapon, what about knives? Are you a danger to yourself or others right in this moment or for long term?
Define what a weapon is. You use a screwdriver to fix your car. It could be a weapon, you know.
Right.
Police have shot people for that, you know. They brandish a screwdriver, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and also, what else are you not able to do? Can you drive? Because if driving a vehicle can be used as a deadly weapon, it's also a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, so taking away somebody's freedom, saying that they don't have the faculties, mental faculties to do certain things, it's a big deal. And it's a complicated process, and it's not a simple one under the law. So for all of those reasons, having a law, a legislation that passes that that could circumvent all of those fail safes that exist, not because of a lack of will on the part of the American legal system to stop gun violence, merely just because of the way that we protect so vehemently people's rights to their freedom, their liberty, and their rights to their property. Which guns are. Mm-hmm. They are property. So unless we could come up with a legislation that could circumvent property rights under the law and liberty rights under the Constitution, I don't know that it would really change the way that the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm just playing devil's advocate in the sense that, again, it's possible that a gun law could make an impact, maybe even a significant impact. But in order to do so, I think it would have to speed up the law, the existing laws, or change the existing laws in some significant way, such that your right to designate somebody a crazy person that could have their gun taken from them by force, or to institutionalize them if you think that they might become a mass shooter tomorrow, would have to change those laws. Mm-hmm. You would have to be able to change those laws or circumvent them in some significant way in order for there to be some, you know, immediate relief, the kind of which I think most people are imagining would come if, you know, the you're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. The political will would come from Capitol Hill to do something about gun control, right? Which is the argument, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I think that, you know, side effects to medication, I think that like guns, we have a lot of meds. We have a lot of drugs in our country, many of them that are taken illegally by people that suffer from mental illness that don't have access to mental illness, including those who are sitting in our prisons. And that are abused, misused, and that in many cases, if people suffer side effects from, can make them go crazy, can make them go mental in such a way that they kill themselves or kill others. These are things that happen. Mm-hmm. They happen all the time. They happen more than we talk about. They happen more than you know. And we don't know yet what the killers, what the shooters in these particular cases may have been taking, ingesting. There may be a slew of reasons. Folks, all I'm saying is that there's more to the discussion, the topic of the mass shootings and gun control than we have been honest about or talking about. But what I want you to remember is that these moments in which our emotions are being triggered, they're also being exploited. And people behind these messages are starting to emerge like Anonymous. This is a video they put out sending a message to white supremacists and what Operation Anonymous is going to do to stop them. Here is that clip. Pretty ominous.
Greetings, citizens of the world. This is a message from Anonymous. This message is to the white nationalist extremists who have been terrorizing innocent people at an alarming rate across the United States. We have had the misfortune of sharing many dark corners of the internet with groups such as yourself, but we are nothing like you. We use the shadows to fight against the most corrupt and powerful criminals in the world, while you hide in the shadows because your views are so destructive that they are unacceptable to most rational people, including your own families and employers. The establishment media has rushed to place blame on all of their favorite scapegoats, from guns to video games and even marijuana. However, the real problem is that there are some very angry and disturbed people out there who don't value their own lives, or the lives of others. Many of these people are so miserable in their own lives that they wish to die, and since they are also angry at the world, they seek to take out as many people as they possibly can in the process. In the United States of America and some parts of Europe, many young men who find themselves in this dismal mindset have turned to racist ideologies for comfort. These disturbed individuals find comfort in the false notion that their skin color makes them somehow special or important, and in turn, they cast their anger outward, towards anyone who might have some arbitrary difference in physical appearance. This is a very weak-minded path to take, and it is a path that far too many people are taking. In the past several years, people throughout the United States and Europe have grown increasingly distrustful towards immigrants, or anyone who might be slightly different than they are. It seems that much of the progress that has been made towards racial harmony is under threat, if not already severely fractured. If you are one of these people who promote hateful ideologies from the shadows, know this, you have been warned that your time in the shadows will soon be coming to an end. You have disrespected the online culture of anonymity that so many of us have worked hard to protect for so long, and have instead turned once harmless forums like 8chan into a breeding ground for terrorism. This is why it is essential for groups like Anonymous to regulate our own domain, and why we are promising a full-scale operation to identify and expose racist extremists, especially those that cheer on or encourage acts of violence. The FBI, CIA, and other government agencies that have been tasked with protecting us from the types of attacks that have taken place in recent weeks have obviously failed. Honestly, These outdated organizations are having trouble contending with these widespread and decentralized networks of hate groups that have been radicalizing people online. Anonymous can play an important role in this effort, by providing an even more powerful decentralized network to track down and expose people who are planning violent attacks, or who openly encourage such things. If you belong to one of these hate groups, or if you are a lone individual who wants to watch the world burn, you should know that you have an opportunity to turn your life around before you throw it all away. There are many people who were once in your position, but are now reformed and see the world differently. Anyone who leaves the ranks of the white nationalists now, will likely be spared in the coming war with Anonymous. However, if you continue this hateful pursuit, you will find yourself exposed to the entire world. Very soon you will no longer have the shadows to hide in, and you will have to stand up beside your ideas and explain them to your families, friends, and employers. In the wake of the recent shootings, many of you hid behind a computer screen to mock the victims and encourage other potential killers. This type of behavior will not stand, and these low lives will be the first to be exposed in our operation. If you are one of these people who promote hateful ideologies from the shadows, know this, you have been warned that your time in the shadows will soon be coming to an end. You have disrespected the online culture of anonymity that so many of us have worked hard to protect for so long, and have instead, turned once harmless forums like 8chan into a breeding ground for terrorism. This is why it is essential for groups like Anonymous to regulate our own domain, and why we are promising a full-scale operation to identify and expose racist extremists, especially those that cheer on or encourage acts of violence. The FBI, CIA, and other government agencies that have been tasked with protecting us from the types of attacks that have taken place in recent weeks have obviously failed. Honestly, these outdated organizations are having trouble contending with these widespread and decentralized networks of hate groups that have been radicalizing people online. Anonymous can play an important role in this effort, by providing an even more powerful decentralized network to track down and expose people who are planning violent attacks, or who openly encourage such things. If you belong to one of these hate groups, or if you are a lone individual who wants to watch the world burn, you should know that you have an opportunity to turn your life around before you throw it all away. There are many people who were once in your position, but are now reformed and see the world differently. Anyone who leaves the ranks of the white nationalists now, will likely be spared in the coming war with Anonymous. However, if you continue this hateful pursuit, you will find yourself exposed to the entire world. Very soon you will no longer have the shadows to hide in, and you will have to stand up beside your ideas and explain them to your families, friends, and employers. In the wake of the recent shootings, many of you hid behind a computer screen to mock the victims and encourage other potential killers. This type of behavior will not stand, and these low lives will be the first to be exposed in our operation. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
Okay.
Wow.
Do you remember when Anonymous said before that they were going to expose a bunch of the cops and stuff?
Yep.
And they did. They did do this. Mm-hmm. I think at one point or at a couple of points within this operation, they doxed people that were the wrong people.
Yeah.
A couple of them, I believe. And then they had to walk it back because, you know, they unleashed all of this followers on people that weren't the actual people that they thought. And I don't know how they fixed it. I don't know if they fixed it. They're anonymous, so you can't really go and complain to anyone's tech department.
Yeah, they don't have technical support at Anonymous. Yeah.
Right. But I do remember that they were involved at Standing Rock. And I also, they partnered with Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. And I also know that one of those people, or many of the people involved with Anonymous Bites Back, was none other than philandering Terrence Daniels, the guy that was like trying to sell solar panels and mm-hmm. cold fusion in Puerto Rico, along with those people that were out there scamming. This same guy, shown by Luba Williams on our show, exposed. One of our viewers exposed this guy was raising money for the people in California wildfires when he wasn't even there, for all sorts of different, disaster-related relief, which he was pocketing instead. Hmm. And others involved in Anonymous Bites back, if you recall, are Billy Taylor, Ed Higgins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that merry group of philanderers and idiots and bad actors. Those people. And I just have to say that all of the stuff that they're saying, it sounds good if you're going to go after Nazis or white supremacists that are, you know, sitting there in their Ku Klux Klan outfit behind a keyboard and, mm-hmm. and, you know, promoting hatred. But what about the times when someone promotes a hoax, a fake hate crime, like the Nathan Phillips hoax, mm-hmm. which I showed you was a hoax. I showed more detail than I think any other program and went into the background of each of these individuals going all the way back to the stuff they did at Standing Rock mm-hmm. and how they've worked together on other hoaxes and other frauds
yep.
where they invent crimes against people that didn't even happen. Like fake bullet wounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's crazy what they're willing to make up. So what about that stuff? Look at what they did to Kathleen Bennett. Mm-hmm. What about when they do stuff like that? What about when they decide to attack the people that stand up against them that say, hey, you're nothing but a bunch of bullies that call yourself heroes that aren't really helping people. And they go, oh, you must be one of the Nazis.
Yeah.
You must be one of the white supremacists mm-hmm. that cheered. Let's go find something on their social media page or on their Twitter page or something that they've said that we can say, oh, that right there is hate speech. See, we said in the video, if you promote hate speech and what you said there, we deem that to be hate speech. And or we deem this post that you made to be a sign of your cheering with or laughing at victims of racism or, you know, being put in detention facilities or whatever the hell it is that they want to call a Nazi. Mm-hmm. And then they dox that person. For those people that don't know what that is, it's giving out personal information that would not otherwise be available on social media.
Yep.
So for all of you who say that when I post public images and information from the posts that these people put out in public social media, that is not doxing. It is when you get hold of information such as somebody's social security number, mm-hmm. right? And put it in the public sphere. Something that most people wouldn't be able to get access to. And that's what they do. But they also label them, and they're being labeled such by a supposed social justice organization that really doesn't have any accountability.
Yeah.
They really don't have any accountability. I mean, look at what happened with WikiLeaks. All I'm saying is I don't know if what these folks are doing is good or evil. It feels like there's something not right about it, though. And the way they're messaging through TYT, for example, the Young Turks posted an article. Oh, let me share with you who shared this. It was shared by Evan Duke, folks.
Yeah.
Evan Duke shared that anonymous video, and he says, hashtag dox all your boys. Mm-hmm. So the Antifa anarchist leader connected to Anonymous, connected to the very people I mentioned a minute ago, like Terrence Daniels and Ed Higgins,
yep.
and all those people, that was connected to Wesley Clark Jr. at Standing Rock, who served as security for Tulsi Gabbard, mm-hmm. the presidential hopeful in 2020.
Exactly.
Evan Duke, he posted that. He's in agreement with this. And TYT, the place where Wesley Clark Jr. used to work at, one of these folks connected to the Young Turks, posted this article. I will share the link to this article with you. TYT was the source of many of the other articles in which this information is quoted. It's titled, Leaked FBI Documents Reveal Bureau's Priorities Under Trump. This is a very misleading headline, Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Because what the article consists of is that there was FBI. The FBI changed the name of what they consider extremism having to do with anything with race, whether it's white nationalism or black identity or whatever, okay, or Latino identity or whatever, or Native identity or whatever. So any extremism of any sort having to do with racial identity was merged in 2019, just recently, to being called racially motivated extremism.
Okay. Yeah.
So prior to 2019, they were in separate categories. White supremacy extremism was a separate category, and black identity extremism was a different category. The misleading thing about this article in TYT is that what they're saying is that under the Trump administration, racially motivated extremism as a whole ranked higher as a problem, even greater than Al-Qaeda, but not because black extremism was deemed by the Trump administration as being the single most horrifying thing that the FBI had to stop immediately and investigate and put a kibosh on, but because it wasn't until the Trump administration that white supremacist extremism and black, you know, all extremism was lumped together.
Okay.
So if you take all of the kinds of extremism and put them together, they represent a higher threat to the FBI and a higher priority to the Trump administration than the Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
And that, you know, the way that they presented this is just is disingenuous. It's like, you know, like the headline implies that the Trump administration had some kind of bias in what they were prioritizing under the FBI investigations, and that the release of the leak of these official counterterrorism priorities, which in the past included black identity extremism, anti-authority extremists, and animal rights environmental extremism, according to those leaked documents that they claim they got at the Young Turks. Well, they have. They got links to them and everything. I'm not saying they claim. They did get them. Said that they, you know, are now currently prioritizing these black identity extremists as being more dangerous than anything that the FBI has to be concerned with. And that is not exactly the truth, because as I said, these different group things have been taken and merged all into one. So check out these articles, see what you think. Here's another one that uses the same information from Newsweek. And it says,
FBI ranks black identity extremists bigger threat than Al-Qaeda, white supremacist leaked documents.
Exactly. So, you know, they basically just changed it.
Yeah.
They changed it in 2019. They merged racially motivated extremism, which used to be a level 2. Homegrown violent extremists and ISIS, and included different affiliated branches like of the other extremists mm-hmm. that were level 1. So all of that got changed. In 2020, racially motivated extremism changes to racially motivated violent extremism. Hmm. Normal, right? So there's some changes. And that's the real reason why it appears to be that black extremism or whatever are the most important thing. This Newsweek headline seems to imply that black identity extremism is the, you know, the kind of racist focus of the FBI, that there's something racist about it because white extremism is worse, or it should be just as bad, if not worse, than what we quote unquote call black extremism. First of all, I think most of the time people don't understand what the definition, the government definition of black identity extremists is. And I think that now that, you know, they've changed it and just put all of it on into one big bin, it may be even harder for people to understand. Mm-hmm. But again, what is identified as terrorism because of any kind of racial identity or superiority in under the law by the FBI is probably something different than what you think it is. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I don't think that either of these articles do a good job in explaining that to folks. So it's kind of misleading. And I believe that's intentional, because I think what they're misleading you here to think about is that you should hate white supremacists more than whatever these black identity or whatever any other race motivated cliques or groups like AIM, right? The American Indian Movement, or like Black Lives Matter, or like the Black Panthers, or like, I could go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
The Huey P. Newton Gun Club.
Yeah.
A bunch of other things, right? Because those folks will argue, and a lot of progressives and a lot of people on the left will argue, that the government is mislabeling them as being dangerous or violent or containing a criminal element or doing things that are bad, including things like trafficking drugs and people, because they're racist.
Mm-hmm.
But also they could have evidence of those groups having engaged, or members of those groups having engaged in those kinds of activities. I mean, I don't think it's far-fetched, because I've actually been following what AIM people that were involved at Standing Rock
mm-hmm.
were doing, working along with those people now in the Border Support Network.
Yep.
So here's an interesting post from Evan Duke. And what the messaging is behind this is really what I think you should be a little bit disturbed by. And he writes a quote, so he's just quoting somebody else.
Okay.
The United States is not a functioning democracy. Did you know that, Duke? It's not a functioning democracy. It's not a democracy at all. Not on guns, not on health, not on health insurance, not on mental health policy, not on union organizing rights, not on social welfare, not on taxation, not on wages, not on climate, not on school funding, not on border security and immigration, not on criminal justice, not on defense military empire spending, not on distribution of wealth and income, not on anything, really. Wow, it's a Counterpunch article titled, "Nothing Less Than a Revolution Can Save Us." So again, the messaging here is that revolution, rioting, overthrowing the government, this is something we need to try to do, and we need to do it now.
Yeah.
We need to do this thing. And why is what he's describing there is a failed state?
Mm-hmm.
A failed state, right? That's when many governments go in and try to do a coup. And the first things that they do before they go in and try to do a coup on somebody else's country is start pointing at it and going, that country is a failed state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's describing there. Well, of course, you know, he pulled that out of an article. Here's another quote from a different article he posted. Again, note the messaging around the shootings, around gun control, around mental health. He says, an armed supporter of President Donald Trump and Republican Senator Ted Cruz was detained by police Wednesday right outside of a migrant community center in El Paso, according to Dallas, Texas. Later in the comments of this post, Evan someone in the thread, this came from Raw Story titled El Paso on Edge After Armed Trump Supporter Detained for Lurking Outside Migrant Community Center. They let this guy go, by the way. And this was confirmed by Evan Duke in the comments of this post. So questioning, or especially if somebody was had a weapon, questioning somebody, especially after one of Willem von Spronson's, that's Evan Duke's personal buddy, in fact, went and tried to blow up a propane tank on an immigrant detention facility. And yet, you know, they called him a martyr and a hero. This guy has a Trump thing for his truck, and he's got some kind of window treatment on the back window of his truck that said Ted Cruz. And he obviously, he must have been seen with a weapon. I don't know if he was brandishing it or if he was just open carrying. Who knows? This happened in Texas. So, you know, anything is possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, even though they acknowledge in the comments that he was not detained any longer than, you know, a very short amount of time, which, who knows, maybe they charged him. I don't see any follow-up stories. If there is, please let me know about it. Did they charge this guy, or was he just simply called in to the police and someone checked it out and didn't find him to be a real threat? Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying. The message here, though, is that Trump supporters, Republicans, because he's also a Ted Cruz supporter, are crazy and could turn into mass shooters at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another by Doug McLean, one of the Standing Rock messaging people. Doug McLean has many platforms, formerly was living in Australia, originated from New Jersey, was living in Australia as a photographer, was formerly part of Greenpeace, now just continues to work for the platform Indigenous Life Movement. Doug is a white, blue-eyed male from New Jersey, so how he is speaking for the Indigenous people, I don't understand, but he is the primary source of information that is uploaded to that page and that platform. And he posts a quote of Adolf Hitler's here, in which there's a picture of Adolf Hitler. And it says, Jews, are not people, they are animals, quoted to Adolf Hitler. And then below that is a quote attributed to Donald Trump that says, undocumented immigrants are not people, they are animals. And that is, while at the top of our show, I conceded that there's a lot of really reprehensible and sad things that the president has said, among those, the many, many lies or untruths or half-truths or unexplained thoughts that sound crazy. There are plenty to choose from. This, though, is not one of them, because he was fact-checked on. There's a lot of people saying that he called undocumented immigrants animals. He did not. He was referring to MS-13, Mara Salvatruchas. He was referring to the savagery of the gang, the Mara Salvatrucha, what they are known to be capable of doing to people. These folks like to rape young girls. They'll take whoever they want. They have been known to cut people up into little pieces. I mean, it's truly horrifying, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the title here, Sam?
Fact check. Did Donald Trump say undocumented immigrants are not people? They are animals? Question mark.
So this is somebody fact checking. If you look at this article, you can check it out for yourself. You're told that he was talking about MS-13 members. And that was not the same. And yeah, many of the MS-13 members that are here in the United States are here in an undocumented fashion. That is because they don't like to give entry into this country to people that are known to be affiliated with criminal organizations. I mean, it's one of the reasons why they can say you can't come in to the country. So if you do have gang affiliations, they usually don't let you come into the country. And just so that you can remember, who keeps putting out this idea that this is a fascist regime, this is a fascist president, he is Hitler, he is a Nazi, is one of those groups that started right after his inauguration, Refuse Fascism, started by none other. Here are the initiators from their key wiki. Here are the initiators that say that they are going to refuse fascism, initiated by the Communist Party to remove Donald Trump from office, to impeach him. Refuse Fascism is not just about not stopping Nazis. It is meant to stop the Trump-Pence regime, as it is called here. And one of the first signatories is Bill Ayers. He is from the Weather Underground.
Yep.
He was in prison for a long time for blowing up people, right?
Yep, blowing up buildings. And
Chase Iron Eyes, who was not in prison as long or jail as long, but was in both before more than once. Chase is also one of the signatories there. You see him there?
Mm-hmm.
You also have down below Michael A. Wood Jr. The cohort of Wesley Clark Jr. from the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock. He doesn't appear on this page, but I showed you in the show, I talked about this group at length, that he was in there. And you know what else they recently posted in the Border Support Network? What this place where they routinely, both Evan Duke and Doug McLean, people messaging this propaganda that you are supposed to learn, that you are supposed to react to, that you are supposed to take action. They posted this. Doug McLean posted, Natives for Bernie. And guess what? They're going to have so many Natives for Bernie that are going to, it's going to be like amazeballs. It's going to be historical. And they're going to send a message to the tribal leaders that Bernie is good for Indian country. Bernie 2020. And who is that next to him, Duke? Who's that guy standing next to him in the sunglasses?
Chase Iron Eyes.
Looking like a Men in Black from Standing Rock. It's Chase Iron Eyes, honey.
Yep, of course.
Of course. Of course. One of the people that started Refuse Fascism, that is trying to end by any means necessary the fascist regime of the fascist Nazi president Trump, is none other than Chase Iron Eyes. Guess who else was part of the group of people that were working with Bernie Sanders? Desiree Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? Tara Houska. Who else? Myron's wife. Myron Dewey's wife, Deborah Parker.
Yep.
Large coalition of people that were all at Standing Rock. So now you know. And as G.I. Joe said, knowing is half the battle. So you're welcome, folks. You got all of that from a Mexican crossing lines, asking you to dig deeper, to cross those lines, to think more deeply about why your buttons are being pushed, by who and for what purpose. What do they want? They want Bernie 2020.
Yeah.
What are they seeking to do, right? We shouldn't fall for it. I don't want to fall for it again, because they came and did this here at Standing Rock. And a lot of people did fall for it, and a lot of people were burned, a lot of people were defrauded, and many people were hurt. And people, some people were even killed. So, folks, I don't want to be defrauded by these folks again and lied to. I don't want to be tricked by them, and neither should you. Thanks for being here with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shamp.
And Duke Gomez-Shamp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we're adding local color to your air. Airwaves. Have a great evening.